music and how he goes above and beyond the call of duty to help these band students. And Nicole received, and I also did hand deliver a copy of that to Mr. Anderson, but I've not received any response from him, which I'm a little disappointed in, but I'm hoping that he will be in touch. But after doing that, I did give a copy to Mr. Saxby, and he said, you know, this was my dream job. And he lives for this music, and he's a great science teacher, but this is what he loves, and that's what he imparts to these students. Something else I wanted to mention, and that is that tonight we also have Ed Harris here speaking. I've known Ed probably for, I don't know, maybe 20 years, because he is a very fine musician in this community. And he, because I think in great part due to the fact that Mr. Saxby is such a charismatic person and has such enthusiasm for what he does, he's drawn Ed into the program, and Ed Harris gives much of his time and attention to the Laguna children, and I think that's a lot in part due to what Mr. Saxby, the enthusiasm that Mr. Saxby shares with Mr. Harris. So I'm not so certain that Mr. Harris would be so excited about doing so much if it was for someone who was not.
And now, with no further introduction, Ed Harris.
As a professional musician, I know the value of a talented and dedicated band director. I mean, I started in junior high, and every teacher I had was inspiring and kept me going. And Mr. Saxby has done an outstanding job. He's got a class of 50 kids of varying ranges, because they don't have beginning and advanced band anymore. It's everybody together, so he makes it all work. And that's really a testimony right there. And, of course, you've got the junior high personality, too, which is really unique, and that's a challenge right there. So he really rises to the occasion. I've been volunteering in his class a couple of days a week, and so I get to see the whole thing work right there and help out, and he's just done an incredible job. He goes far and beyond the call of duty. The kids do a tour of the elementary schools, so they get to play for the kids, and that inspires the kids in elementary school to think about continuing in music or join in the music program. They compete in the county band festivals, and they've really done quite well considering they're going up against band, which we've had 8 kids from Laguna participate this time. These are things that are far above the call of duty. I think by removing Mr. Saxby and bringing in, let's say, one of the floating elementary school music teachers, we're going to lose a lot of that. I don't think they're going to be... I've worked with them, and I enjoy their company, but I don't think it's going to be a good match to bring in the elementary school teachers who are floating between the different schools. They're not going to be engaged with Laguna. It's not going to be a passion for them. They're going to do the best they can, but I don't think it's a good match. I really feel that it would be in best interest to work out something where we can keep Mr. Saxby in the band program. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who wish to address the board in public comment? Mrs. Dickinson.
I just want to thank you for coming. And Nicole, I want to say, I hope this is the beginning of a long career of speaking out and going to school boards and city councils, because we need people who can come and share.
Okay, then moving on. We have an action discussion item.
There were a lot of political maneuvering that's been going on in Sacramento. I think that as we watch what happens in Sacramento in the upcoming months, it's going to revolve around the initiatives that the governor has put forth. The 3 initiatives of teacher tenure, living within our means, and the redistricting are going to take front and center. And I think in response to his having filed for the special election, you saw the Democrats who put forth their budget and attempted to pass it and saw it shot down as they knew it would be by the Republicans who didn't join them, even though it was essentially the same budget as the governor had proposed, with a STRS component where the 2% cost passed on to school districts was removed. it was essentially the same. And so they're positioning themselves right now for the comments, which I'm sure are going to come in their fight over this initiatives. The reason the Democrats went forth with their budget proposal that did not include a protection for Prop 98. It was somewhat disappointing, but understanding if you realize that CTA, CSBA, the ed coalitions did not want to focus on the budget as the battle. They want to focus on the initiatives as the battle. It'll be an interesting process. It's much different than what we're used to in the past. It's going to be a long process. If they do pass a budget, it's going to be because the people are getting tired of this stuff. And just something to read to you from the field poll that was taken this week. Actually, the preliminary numbers came out today. There's going to be more numbers tomorrow. But what it calls forth is that the information in the aftermath of his decision to call a special election, Schwarzenegger sees his poll numbers plummet, leaving him, as the Sacramento Bee said, at about the same place as former Governor Gray Davis during the 2001 energy crisis. Or, as the San Francisco Chronicle notes, who's not a very big supporter of the governor, one of the most unpopular governors in state history. The numbers are this, that he was coasting 5 months ago on a 65% approval rating. After slipping to 55% in February, the governor is now hovering barely above the one-third mark at 37% approval of registered voters in the latest field poll. According to the number of registered voters who disapprove of the governor's job performance, these numbers have exploded from a high, I guess you would say. There was only a 35% disapproval rating, and now there's a 53% disapproval rating. So you take the two numbers, 37% approval, 53% disapproval, and you compare those to Gray Davis's job performance at his low, which will reflect there's not much support for it. The people don't have any interest in seeing this election, and that's reflected in his numbers. The legislature, too, suffers. They have even worse numbers. The approval for their performance is 34% in February. Now it's 24%. So nobody wins in this little battle that they're engaged in. And certainly schools are going to be hard-pressed to come up with the numbers that they need in order to forecast what they can do in 2005 and 2006. So all we can do is wait until they settle their little squabbles and see how it bears itself out. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Declaration of need for fully qualified educators, Mr. Robinette.
Annually, we need to file with the Commission on Teacher Credentialing any forecasting that we might have for the need to have emergency permits for any of our teachers. So what you have in front of you is our annual declaration of need for fully qualified educators, vacancies, or more often the case, something, an unanticipated vacancy that happens maybe in the middle of a school year where we have difficulty finding a specialized teacher. So this is the annual notification, and available to answer any questions you might have about it.
Mrs. Botwin.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention this. Every year we have approved this. Every year it's been very, very contained, as you said. Last year we had one person. But you ask here for 2 to 5 emergency permits. If you go over 5, would you just simply bring that back as a matter of an information item to the board so that we know if, what's asked for here is over 20?
Yeah, certainly. I think we request 22 so we cover all the gamut, special ed, single subject, multiple subject. I certainly can let you know if we ever need more than 5. It hasn't been the case in many years.
I know. Thank you.
Move to approve item number 2.
Second.
Can I say one more thing?
Oh, I was getting ready to vote.
Board discussion.
I just want to say one more thing about highly qualified. I think that, you know, there's this cut and dried formula to determine who's highly qualified, but there are teachers who are highly qualified in very real ways who may need emergency credentials. So I think people who
under the No Child Left Behind Act, we have the need to have highly qualified teachers. Under the California Commission on Teacher Credentialing, we have to have fully qualified teachers. There are actually two different designations. The fully qualified refers only to the actual credential. The NCLB stuff is a whole other story in terms of all the different things that we have to certify. We anticipate by the end of 2006 we'll have 100% highly qualified teachers also.
Okay, is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this item? Seeing none, board members? Okay, moved by Dr. Olker and seconded by myself. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, we move to the action consent agenda. Please let me know if you would like any of these items pulled. Item 3, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. Item 4, acceptance of donations.
Pull.
Item 5, disposition of surplus property. Item 6, approval of furniture and equipment requests. Item 7, approval of purchase orders. Item 8, approval of... Item 11, approval of consolidated application for funding categorical aid programs, Part 1. Item 12, approval of agreement with Bellevue Santa Fe Charter School. Item 13, authorization to purchase...
Excuse me, Madam Chair, could I pull 12 just to abstain?
Yes.
So I can vote for the rest of the items separately. I just want to abstain on that one.
Okay. Item 13, authorization to purchase computers and hardware for enhancing education through technology, EETT grant, using Western States Contracting Alliance, WSCA. Item 14, approval of extended field trip requests.
Move to approve items 3, 5 through 8, 10 and 11, 13 and 14.
Moved by Dr. Olker, seconded by myself. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That passes unanimously. Acceptance of donations. Did you pull that?
I did. I pulled that because there's a gentleman that I would like to honor with one of the donations, and that's Dr. Paul Wetzel. He was responsible for finding something that was very threatening to my husband's life, and Dr. Wetzel found it. And
Owen.
While we're at it, since it's been pulled, I would like to note a number of thanks to everybody for whether you give a dollar or $100,000 to donations. But there are three groups that I thought were particularly outstanding, and that was the Los Osos Middle School Parent Organization gave $3,500 to the school. Two anonymous donations totaling $9,800 were given to Bishop's Peak Teach School. God love you, anonymous. And the last one, parents at C.L. Smith donated $2,400 for the sixth grade extended trip. Thank you all again, and especially these people for their generosity.
Okay, do we have a motion to approve then item 4?
I moved.
And I seconded.
Okay, moved by Mrs. Andreen, seconded by Dr. Olker. Those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes unanimously. Item 9, the general waiver request. Who pulled that?
I did.
Mrs. Botwin.
Yeah, I had several questions, and I liked the recommendation here that very bottom of 9.2, number 5 said the advisory committee, school sites councils, please identify the committee that reviewed this waiver. And it says San Luis High School Site Council voted to forward this waiver to the board for approval. Now, if you turn over to page 9.4, and under comments from SLCTA, the fifth bullet, it says the management team at San Luis High School did not have the opportunity to consult with their constituencies before voting on the waiver request. So I found those two somewhat irreconcilable, this one group and then the other, and then along with the, Mary, I'll do that one first.
Would you like me to comment on that?
Yes, please.
Very good.
As you know, I came to you with our coordinated compliance review summary at the last board meeting. And the sequence of events took place where at the end of April, we were identified to be non-compliant in three areas in the physical education area. I then met with set a meeting for our K-12 physical education teachers, and the earliest we could set it for was the end of May. As well, because as you'll remember from my report at our last meeting, we have issues K-12 in our physical education program, the need to align our curriculum to the K-12 standards, then to establish a monitoring plan that extends across the K-12 program. And so this is just how the sequence of events took place.
Okay, I understand that. It's kind of towards the end there, got a little bit rushed. But the comments from the SLCTA kind of lead me towards wanting to see us spend maybe a year looking at this and see how it works, as I think part of the recommendation in here. On page 9.5, it says a physical education is most beneficial to students as a life skill when taught on a daily basis instead of two trimesters, three, I think, was the general thinking. For students to achieve maximum results, physical education should be taught on a daily basis. I think basically all of us who are involved with schools, have taught, do teach, whatever, would agree with these items, and parents also. You can't do things on a part-time with a big chunk of time in between. Having students take physical ed three trimesters per year. Now, this was a good point. Adversely impacts the number of alternate schedules. So I'm hoping that during the waiver period, these will be one of the major issues that will be looked at. And the waiver period should not be of a short duration so that we get a good handle on it. It should be of short, and I don't think it should be. I think it should be an extended look at it. I know other schools do this, and maybe, Mary, offhand, can you tell us how other trimester schedules, how they do their programs, adapt their programs so they get a full boat PE? Our kids only get 2 years of it. And in this case, San Luis High School, they only get a year and a half is what it comes down to.
Well, we have a two-year requirement or 20 credits, Mrs. Botwin, so in a trimester system, that means four trimesters out of six in the first 2 years of their high school career.
Well, but that means they take two out of three trimesters.
Correct. That's the way they are scheduled now. And so what our goal is to take a look at the physical education standards, look at our physical education offerings, and determine how we can best deliver our physical education curriculum. And that's what the charge is. As you noted, the teachers and professional development plan that they have, as well as look at the resources they are providing us. And we figure in the second year that we should be able to work the program through and come back to you with a program that meets the compliance expectations. And so that's why we're submitting this waiver for a two-year period.
That's one of the things that I liked very much was there'd be some time to review it in terms of what works out. And everything you say is fine. I'm trying to look at it in terms of what's best for our students to get the best, the most physical ed. I mean, we're at a time where 37% of our population is overweight, and how many, I don't remember the numbers on students in elementary and junior high and senior high, and I'm just thinking that in this particular case, PE is more is better than less. Other people want to speak, so I'd like to come back if I could on this issue.
Mr. Moore.
Thank you. I guess, Dr. Mtakovich, you're the best person to ask. So that bullet point regarding the SLOHI management team not being able to consult their constituency, they did vote in favor of the
school site council and review the waiver request. The school site council is made up of teachers, parents who represent the school at large. So they were asked to discuss this item at their school site council full day meeting. And so being a representative body, they responded.
No, and I understand that. But the other, the management team is a separate committee, but they overlap.
One and the same. They're one and the same.
Okay. And I see in the old days at C.L. Smith, you had the site council and you had the management team.
These are one. Okay. They're synonymous.
And then I guess I need to understand the high school curriculum better. So 11 and 12 graders, if they've already met their PE requirement of 20 units, aren't required to take any PE.
That's correct.
Do I see about changing that? Is that okay?
We have a variety of electives that students are able to take that they opt to take in their 11th and 12th grade year, but they're not meeting the graduation requirement at the 9th and 10th grade level.
Okay. Thank you.
Mrs. Dickinson.
A couple of things. One is, that's a minimum requirement. Do we have dance or other things that are physical activity that aren't necessarily a PE requirement class?
Yes, we have dance, aerobics, weightlifting.
So there's other ways they get physical fitness. Unless you want to have like Tai Chi for the whole entire student body, you know, like the first 15 minutes or something, or I don't know. Is that the word for that?
Dr. Olker.
Yeah, just a comment that if it was made mandatory to have three trimesters of PE, then the students would lose two trimesters of electives. So things like drama and dance and things like that, you wouldn't be able to do. That's what happened when we went to a semester system. The number of students taking electives dropped dramatically. The staff figured that out and revoted in the trimester.
Mrs. Baldwin.
My last comment, following up what everybody else has said also, is that I would like to see a very important part played in during the waiver while this is being looked into. I'd like to see the PE teachers and the play a very important role in determining how to do it and if there's problems, what they are, and that kind of thing. I think these are our specialists. Everybody else is certainly got good input. But these are the guys that do it, and I think it's very important that we hear from them also.
After system that has been adopted and has been in place, if there's a way, the trimester system, thank you. If there's a way to accommodate the PE that doesn't unravel the whole system, that would certainly be better, but I don't think this would be a good enough reason to switch back from trimester to semester just on its own.
Okay. Mrs. Bott, when you pulled this, would you like to move it?
No, I'll second.
Okay, I'll move.
Moved by Dr. Olker, seconded by Mrs. Botwin. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment? But speaking of public comment, let me just interject something here. We've had a student arrive with a request to speak regarding Mr. Saxby, and although public comment has been closed, the general public comment, would the board be in favor of allowing, when we're done with this portion, allowing the student to speak? Okay, great. Then we move to item 12, approval of agreement with Bellevue Santa Fe Charter School, pulled by Mrs. Andreen.
Move to approve item 12.
Moved by Dr. Olker, seconded by Mr. Millar. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, I think the next item is reports by board members and administrators, but this might be a good time to revisit public comment so that Sarah Appleton can speak to us. It's a little scary. Sarah, we're not, when you talk to us, we are only allowed to listen. We're not allowed to ask any questions, but that doesn't mean we're not listening to you.
Okay.
Okay.
At a very young age, I was captured by music. I wanted to learn how to play the saxophone and the piano, and I learned how to play the clarinet along with it. By age 11, I learned how to play the saxophone. but not on a very good one. It definitely had seen better days. I agreed to try it, and Mr. Saxby helped me every key and lever along the way. He helped me tune it, put my mouthpiece on just right, hold it correctly, adjust my neck strap, maximize my airflow and diaphragm, and so many other little things that made such a difference. He encouraged me to try out for Honor Band. I didn't feel that I had the talent, but Mr. Saxby had been adamant that at least I give it a try. I questioned it. I'd only been playing the tenor for 5 months, but in the end, I gave in and tried out. Later that evening, Mr. Saxby gave my family a call announcing that I had made it in, the first saxophone from Laguna in 8 years. As you might guess, it was Mr. Saxby that helped me through every music note through Honor Band. He continued offering me chances to excel in music. He allowed me to take home a flute, and he even helped me learn how to play the bassoon. Without his recent encouragement, I wouldn't have begun to take saxophone lessons. I would have instead recoiled back to myself to only get better by practice. By taking lessons, my ability and techniques have already improved. I have to hand it to him. Without Mr. Saxby, I would still be a timid alto saxophone player, inexperienced and without so many of the benefits that music gives you. I'm not the only one that has benefited from Mr. Saxby. My fellow band members and Laguna alumni have enjoyed his leadership over the years. He's taught us all substantially, not only about our own instrument, the oboe, a double-reeded instrument, and Mr. Saxby even helped her find one to purchase for herself. We all have our little niche in the world, the place where we click right in. It's clear for me to see that Mr. Saxby's is music. You can see that he has a great passion for it by participating in the symphony and teaching band and choir. His teaching method clearly demonstrates that this simply by his excitement for the piece. It's easy to see that he really puts his heart into it. Teaching band is a perfect fit. Requiring Mr. Saxby to teach science is difficult for me to understand. It might be said that replacing Mr. Saxby is easy, but it clearly is not. A great band teacher is easy to come by. In fact, Mr. Saxby was originally hired to teach band, not science, and he has been teaching band for 20 years. Why move him to science? If a science teacher is needed, it makes worse. Can I keep going?
Just
okay. It makes more sense to hire someone that science actually fits. Band is something that means a lot to me. I wouldn't want for the quality of band to go downhill due to poor teaching or lack of school support. Sadly, I haven't had to experience this. Sadly, I haven't had this experience, but I know that it's happened, and only recently. Instead of 5 periods of band with the extra elective, there's now only one, and one's future is looking pretty bleak to me right now. Even my parents and other people I know have high suspicions. Music in school is very important, and unfortunately, most people haven't been able to see that. They cut music back like it's some useless hedge in their yard. If this letter doesn't persuade you at all, or even leave you with any form of guilt for Mr. Saxby, I hope it at least leaves you thinking. If you've ever pruned a bush in your yard or hacked down a tree, then look out at the yard, you can feel that there's something missing. You can see the big hole that's left. You might feel glad it's gone, but others might not. It always takes time for the plant life to grow back and cover it up again. And even when it does, there's always a small little aggravating stump remaining. And did you ever stop to think about just what you did? You might have cut the tree out for your own satisfaction, but right along with it, you cut out all the life that it was home to. Now think of that on a larger scale. If all the people do just what you did, there's an effect. Maybe not right away, but there is an effect. A little less oxygen in the air, an animal goes extinct, animal homes have to be moved, the list goes on. It does make a difference, and it does affect the world around you. And if you really do put the time and effort into thinking about what cutting band would do, you might realize all the problems you would be causing. Maybe not right away, but for the future. I know, I've seen the studies and the effects, but it's up to you to find out for yourself. You just have to pick, and I hope that you make some suggestions to Mr. Anderson.
Should I get it? I'll take it. And thank you for coming tonight. Okay, reports by board
members. Madam Chair, before we move on, I'd like to ask something of staff about this this issue. It was not my understanding that band was being cut at Laguna, and I wonder if you could tell me your understanding of how that's going to be handled.
Yeah, you're correct that the band program is not being cut. We are looking to reorganize the program, and Mr. Anderson's looking to reorganize the program, and hope to see that program grow in the years to come.
Would you let us know if for any reason there is no band program at Laguna?
Yes, we would.
Okay, because it would be something very different, I think, from moving staff to a place where maybe there's a better fit. That's one thing, but I think the board would want to be apprised immediately if there were any threat to the program. Thanks. I don't know if I can speak for the others, but...
Okay, I will go first since somebody else is going to jump out here. Two things I wanted to mention. One was a number of things I've been to, but I was the most impressed last Friday. I went to the retirement luncheon at Morro Bay High School, and they had quite a number of teachers who retired. And it was one of the most delightful and enjoyable functions I've seen in a long time. And Walt Millar made a comment at the meeting, if you don't mind my saying this again. He said at the meeting, he leaned over to me at one point when the retiring teachers were being presented, and he said, why are they so happy? And I think you'd have to be a teacher, retired teacher, or have somebody in your family who was a teacher to know why they were so happy. In the luncheon was very much that way, too. What?
We were sad.
Yeah. We were sad, and you wanted them to be sad because we were... the other item I want to bring up is that in our going over our minutes, I did notice a couple of anomalies, and I'll just read them briefly. You guys never listen to me anyhow. Okay, it says at the bottom on page, if you're looking at it, on page 6, they want to deal with changing the budget, which I understand. The last... two sentences say, other board members suggest that Mrs. Botwin hold her suggestion until the advance agenda rather than modify the current budget. And that was when I put down my club. And then we went ahead and approved the budget. Then we went ahead on page 7 under advance agenda. And here was the anomaly. The advance agenda was received. A discussion was requested to explore adding PEAs and Safe Sock Liaison to the budget. That's it. It goes on, Mr. Unger also requested, et cetera, et cetera. I wanted to make sure that since it isn't on the advance agenda, which we don't have tonight for the 23rd of August, I'm going to go ahead and move that this be placed on the advance agenda. And I do believe I have a second for that.
I second it.
Adrienne seconds it. And in talking yesterday with Russell, he said at the point, I know you guys were concerned about making any major changes, but he said that maybe by the middle of August, we'll have some feeling of how the budget's going to be going. So by the 23rd, am I correct? Russell, by the 23rd, we may have a pretty good feeling at these two items.
I take exception to that, Mrs. Botwin.
I gave you my two requests before I left, and nobody paid any attention to them. Remember that at that meeting? I said, okay, I'm not going to be here at the next meeting. Here's my number one and number two. I looked at your list, and they were nowhere on there. But that's okay. I understand. If you're not here, you don't get a vote. Just did you use? Yeah, no, we just ignored it with a smile.
I did bring up maybe we could email you in Munich or wherever you were.
All right, so that was one thing I'd like to make sure that we get on tonight for the 23rd of August.
So you're asking for Safe Sock and PEAs grades 4 through 6
to be on the agenda for the 23rd of August. So if possible, if we approve it that night, we might be able to move right into finding people to put in those slots. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, so that's been moved by Mrs. Botwin and seconded by Mrs. Dickinson. Is there a board comment?
I was just going to say, you know, that we talked about this at the workshop about how to do this. And that when we talked about this, it was to be done under an item called Advance Agenda. Do we have that on the agenda tonight? It's being done as board member comments. I guess it's not a big enough deal for me to be bothered if everybody thinks...
The item, the first board meeting of the month, but not the second. Is that correct, Mrs. Holmes?
That's correct. And the direction the board gave to us at the last meeting during the advance agenda discussion specifies that those items will come forward to you. So I think that this request is really unnecessary.
But I think that the request is for a specific board date, and I don't think that that's been agreed to. During our discussion at the board retreat on Saturday, we had decided that the board chair and clerk would make the decision about putting timing of putting advanced agenda items that had been agreed to. And if somebody wanted to specifically have the board have an item come to the next scheduled board meeting, that there needed to be a motion made, a second, and then the board would vote on it, and whether if there was a majority that was interested in having it on the next meeting, then it would take place then.
Okay, does that...
Oh, yeah, I want to go ahead with the motion, and we have a second. I'd also like to mention that maybe since we only have... The board agenda used to be on here. I'd also like to see the agenda. If I'd known it was on there, I wouldn't have brought it up tonight. Kim, I didn't know it was on there for the 23rd.
It's not. It is not. It has been forwarded to the board president and clerk to discuss with the superintendent how it's going to be scheduled. That's where the current status is.
Okay, so what you're asking is for it to be, for us to vote tonight, to bring it forward on the 23rd, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Madam Chair?
In a timely way.
Dr. Valentine?
Yeah, I'm a little confused here because I don't see this item on the agenda in order to have a motion and an action taken. I think we're at the point that if there were an advanced agenda item, as there was on the first meeting of the month, in that advanced agenda item, action could be taken on advanced agenda. It's not on the agenda, and I don't think we can take action with it. That would be my understanding. However, I think the board chair and the board clerk could take the advice of the board and
if the board
proceed.
Wants to be polled, you mean?
Yeah, I think that...
Normally... No, I'm not talking about polling the board. I'm just talking about hearing the drift of the conversation here.
Yeah, we certainly wouldn't want to violate the Brown Act by the person who is most interested in the Brown Act.
Excuse me, there seems to be...
I agree with Dr. Valentine that this may be a problem as far as the published agenda under the Brown Act, and we all care about the Brown Act in our own ways. But I do think the suggestion, if Mrs. Botten will withdraw her motion, I think we can get a consensus of the board one way or another to direct staff to either bring it forward on the 23rd or to have the normal scheduling process go forward. And I think that's what we should do about it, and I invite anybody else to jump in.
Mrs. Andreen.
I think that's perfect, Walter. That's the way I would look at it, too. And I would suggest Mrs. Botwin withdraw the motion, and then we just talk about it. And it seems to me that she's been trying to get this on the agenda for a while, and she had some support, and the normal support would be met, so... I would encourage that it be put on the agenda as soon as possible without a formal motion.
Dr. Olker?
Yeah, I just have concerns that I voiced at the board retreat is that once we establish a budget and we try to change it at every board meeting, maybe we should have a board agenda item on every board. I'm really reluctant to try to... change a budget that was adopted in a very coherent manner and to change it after its adoption.
Mrs. Dickinson?
I'm going to speak to another report when this is all finished.
Mr. Millar?
I guess part of my reaction is if the decision is to bring the item forward, then that's going to be part of the discussion, is this how we're going to treat our budgeting process? But I think what bothers me about this is similar to the old debate among lawyers and judges about whether you should send the jury instructions in writing in with the jury or not, because it places undue emphasis on certain things. So by picking these two items, as deserving and important as they may be, we are forgetting, or not forgetting, if I may use a Steverism, we're walking past the work we did to put together this three-tiered approach, which involved balancing folks' view, not only our own, but other the advisory council and other people, their view of how important things were and how we should rank them. So I think that can go forward. We can bring this thing forward on the 20.
At a particular budget items, you have to look at them in relationship to what other budget items and their priorities that we have already established.
Mrs. Dickinson.
It sounds like there's four people that are at least willing to talk about it on the 23rd. That's what I'm hearing. And what Walter said, and Patty, and I think we can, and Caroline.
I'm willing to talk about it, but also in relation to how we established our budget priorities and under what circumstances we'll reopen the budget. I think that Glenn and I have heard that you would like this agendized for that meeting. And it will be done. So can we move past this one now?
All right, it will be done. Oh, good.
Then with what's been said here, clarify it for me before I withdraw the emotion. Exactly what are we going to do then?
We are going to instruct staff to build an agenda for the 23rd that will include a discussion item of Safe Sock and PEAIDS grades 4 through 6.
What I understand us to be doing is bringing forward an agenda item that allows us to discuss if and in what manner we may want to modify our budget that we recently adopted.
No.
Yes. That's what I'm interested in bringing forward.
No, I don't.
That's
I
a
made
separate
no motion to having to do. Okay, I made no motion changing the budget as it is. This was simply met yesterday with Marilyn, met with us and with Russell to discuss how soon Russell might have a handle on money that's coming in if we're going to have more. So it was not to change the budget per se. It was simply to look at these two issues on the 23rd. If we're at a point that we have significantly more money and we see that they're going to be moved up anyway, that we can get maybe in place to look for people to fill these positions. That's what I'm saying.
Well, the reason I have a problem with that is it front loads the predicate that if we do have extra money, we're going to do something about PE and SafeSock. And what I want to see brought forward is a discussion about if we're going to amend the budget. Unless we are, we can get on to the next step, which is, okay, in what way are we going to amend those things? But I'm not comfortable with the agenda item coming forward that we're specifically going to discuss SafeSock and PE.
Would it be better if we just state it as an informational item on the agenda? We get information about it, how the cost of it, how it's applicable, what the items are. And, Russell, would that be a possibility by the 23rd that we'd have sufficient information? If we do, we can make some movement. If we don't at that point, then we wouldn't. We would have to put it in abeyance until we...
Are you suggesting a discussion item or an action item?
Information item.
Much of the information you're asking for is dependent upon other agencies having tasks done, the state, the county, the impact of taxes. It's uncertain. The history is around August 15th we get our assessments for the city tax, the tax structure for our school district. Whether it's here or not, I don't know.
Can I ask a question?
Mrs. Dickinson.
Just regarding SafeSock, I think it's so important since we talk about at-risk students, but isn't that the type of position that we could add sometime during the year?
It's a place in line to come forward and receive it.
It is sitting on tier two.
I think the issue, one of the issues that we're looking at is that the board has already made a decision of what to do with the first about $1.1 million that come in over the projected budget. And I think it would take a board action to reverse that order. And I'm hearing from Mr. Millar that would be the discussion question.
Mr. Millar.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Valentine. That is the issue. whether we're going to revisit the decision we've already made. And I don't want to belabor this, but I keep hearing two different conversations going on. One is the worth and desirability for SafeSock and PE, and that's not the conversation I am in favor of having on the 23rd. I'm interested in whether the board has any interest in revisiting the priorities we've already established for revenue enhancement.
And I have a question. Is it just a matter of how you would implement that? Say that the money that we've determined between now and August 23rd as a date, that all of a sudden we've determined we have enough money to, say, go down and fill our priorities to the level that we're going to hire a teacher if this is going to take place.
I think that's kind of frivolous, Glenn, if I may say so, because we've done that. That's done. You know that that's done. That's not a question about that. We've gone through those areas. That budget area is done. So what basically I'm looking for is that we discuss this, which we haven't really. We had a Friday packet on the Safe Sock.
We did.
I was here. We had a very brief little discussion on it. I mentioned I also talked to Paul, the counselor at Morro Bay High School, at the luncheon last Friday, and he was one of the originators of the Safe Sock program, and he said he'd be very happy to come speak to the board about what we didn't know about it.
Point of order, Madam Chair. I mean, this is really board member reports that has gone a little far, and now we're arguing not only whether we should get this on the agenda, which isn't really on the agenda, and the minutes. I'm sensitive to the fact that there's a frustration with trying to get it on the agenda, but I think we're going too far.
Well, we have to clarify how you voted, Mrs. Andreen. Did you vote for putting it on the agenda in which way? In having the Safe Sock and PE putting on, or the method of changing the budget? Because that's unclear.
Okay, well, I thought it got sandbagged and not put on the agenda. So as a matter of process, if she had those two votes to get it on the agenda, I was supporting her for that. As far as the whole process of unraveling the budget, I have greater concerns with that too. And if this is something that was considered as part of the budget process, then I would have concerns about an absent board member bringing the matter back and unraveling a kind of a complicated order of priorities. So I guess I'm willing to support some limited discussion of it, and I would like to see at least enough that I understand what everybody's talking about, but I'm uncomfortable with how far it seems to be going.
Well, and I'm taking a little bit of an offense that there was some suggestion that the board president and clerk had sandbagged this issue. This agenda item just came up at the last board meeting, and so there hasn't been any opportunity to sandbag it.
Well, I just heard that, and like I'm saying, I'm coming on here brand new tonight, and I'm just hearing what I'm hearing. I don't know what happened at the meeting, Glenn.
I also take exception to...
I'd like to clarify my position before the discussion goes any further.
Please.
I am not in favor of the board bringing forward SafeSock, directing you guys to bring that forward on the August 23rd agenda. And I believe that's what we're discussing. Mrs. Bottenwin hasn't withdrawn her motion yet because she wanted the assurance that what she wanted on the agenda was going to be on the agenda, but I won't support that.
Basically, I'd like to change the motion or amend it, if I may, to that we simply have some more information presented on the agenda about these two areas. I don't want to change the budget or anything else. So would you still second me, Adrian, on that? That we simply have more information brought on these two areas.
I'm hearing some whisperings that it's improper to make this motion at this time. That's what I'm hearing.
I'm sorry?
We're back to the point of order, and there is no advanced agenda item here to make a motion and take an action upon, so we are going to have to provide some direction to the board chair and clerk and move from there.
I have one question about this. Is August 26th the first meeting in August, so that would be an advanced agenda meeting? So she could bring it back up again if she wanted to.
Had he phrased it and not deal with the budget.
I'm just hoping we have a lot of money.
We did have a meeting scheduled for the 12th of July, and it was canceled. Yeah. And so that's why I'm kind of, you know. So you guys look at it and come back and tell us that it's on there.
It's yours. I'm unclear.
Well, you're actually the swing vote here. You can decide either to put it on or not to put it on. You had not.
Kim, would you read back the motion and the second?
There is no motion.
I did make a motion at the beginning.
There is no. We don't have it in prompt.
It sounds like what the staff wanted direction from board, and they heard what everyone thought. Now they can just let it think about it and make a decision and act on it in whichever way they seem fit. Isn't that kind of what's happening?
Right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Other board reports. Mrs. Dickinson.
I just went to say how great it was to go to all the graduations. I know everybody here got to go to different ones. And I wanted to mention one thing about how fun it was to be at the Morro Bay High School graduation, and that was to see the graduates' faces. Usually as parents and even as a teacher, I go to graduations, but I'm always behind the graduate. I had someone be drafted for the majors in baseball. And so, the whole gamut of emotions, you know, sad to lose their friends and excitement, and you could watch all their faces and see, you know, all the different emotions that happened during that one ceremony, and it was really quite a privilege to see that perspective. So I wanted to mention that, and best wishes to all the graduates, and we wish you well. The other thing I wanted to say was the board retreat was very lovely. So thank you to Dr. Valentine for all the arrangements, and it was wonderful. And one thing that I wanted to lift up that happened was strategic planning. We're going to look, apparently, at some specifics, areas to kind of focus on, and we haven't decided. It sounds like a lot of people will be involved in choosing those. I'm not sure how that process will work. But it started with reviewing the mission statement, and I read the mission statement. There's so many good things in it. I guess you don't want me to read it right now, do you? Okay. I wanted to say one thing about it that I would like to mention something. The mission statement's on the website, and think about it, because I just wanted to say one part of the report was in the little brochure. It does say that all this planning that happened in April 2002 could be revisited. It was good for 3 to 5 years. So we're into the third year beyond that. So I think that even the way it was set up, it would be legitimate to look at it in the time frame that was anticipated, and that it is the purview of the board to talk about mission and vision. So I think it's appropriate and would be an interesting and beneficial discussion. So I'll bring it up in August.
Mr. Millar.
Thank you. I love procedure as much as anybody, especially when it helps me get what I want. But I just want to remind myself, didn't we used to just get stuff on the agenda with a couple of phone calls? I remember when I was in that meeting, if somebody called me and they wanted something on the agenda, and if there was one other person that wanted it, we tried to accommodate them. So just so Adrian knows, you don't have to wait till August. You can, after the meeting, clerk and the board chair, try to get things on the agenda. And I would not expect this board to keep things off the agenda because they disagreed with the result that's going to be voted on. They're going to do that when it's on for the merits. So if you have somebody else that wants to change the mission statement, they'll put it on. And then if they think it's a dumb idea, they'll tell you that when it's on the agenda.
That's what I think. That's how
I would count on them to do that.
Alrighty.
But so it's
Caroline
pretty easy to get stuff on
Walter
the agenda.
Said we could talk about it. Right, Walter?
Yes.
So we got three people there. So
cool. Up on the mission statement.
I'm willing to bring forward a discussion about whether we want to open the mission statement. You know, this isn't making a decision and bringing the decision forward on the agenda. It's bringing the discussion forward to make the decision. And I just would like to say that nothing has changed. that there is no difficulty getting things on the agenda. The issue came up at the retreat, and it's come up tonight because somebody wants something on a specific agenda. That's the difference here.
So you can be at any time.
Yes, but we trust our president and our clerk explicitly, or is it implicitly, whichever one it is, to do the job they were supposed to do, which is to bring forward agenda item cast later, are going to get some impression that there's been some, if I may use a phrase from Super Troopers, shenanigans going on. And there have been no shenanigans. We're doing business as usual. This was just because somebody wanted a specific item at a specific board or specific meeting. And we kind of decided at the retreat, if I'm remembering correctly, colleagues, that where that is an issue, we would use a motion as the vehicle to do so during advanced agenda. And I see a lot of head nodding, so we're all in agreement that that's the issue. I really enjoyed both the Pacific Beach and the San Luis High School graduations. They were fabulous. Thank you.
Well, I would like to actually discuss the mission statement. So Walter wants to discuss whether we should discuss the mission statement. But Caroline, what about you? Are you willing to discuss the actual mission statement?
You know, this meeting is probably one of the earliest we've ever had. I'm for it. I'll second you on that, because I thought the change you wanted to make was excellent.
Madam Chair?
Okay, yes.
If I could just make a suggestion, I think a whole lot of this would have gone away if we'd had an advanced agenda item on the actual agenda. And to the extent that the board did discuss at the retreat that if somebody wanted a specific one, so from here on out, there will be an advanced agenda item on every agenda.
Thank you, Dr. Valentine.
Move to adjourn.
Nope. No. Having taken none, I will take some. I wanted to share that I attended the Morro Bay High School and the San Luis High School graduations, and that they were wonderful, that in two nights I shook 350 hands. My feet fell asleep at San Luis, so I'll know not to wear heels next time, and that some of those football players have quite a grip. So by the next day, my hand was really sore. I was not able to go to Pacific Beach because it's in the middle of the day. I did go last year. That is such an awesome graduation, a wonderful graduation. But because the graduating class was so small, I was able to send personal cards to each of those students. So I was able to remember them too, and I was really glad I could do that. So for those who do watch this meeting, you've witnessed us not at our highest functioning level.
Our reports, and that was that I did go to Pacific Beach and enjoyed it as always, but what I enjoyed more this time, I think it gave me actually goosebumps, was that when Walter came out to give out the diplomas to the kids, there was a rousing cheer from the group of kids, particularly kids who he worked with on the mock trial. And I just was, the love that was generated from them, the regard for a human being, an adult willing to come and spend time with them, to go through something like this with them, it was very impressive to me. And I wanted to congratulate, even though I get mad at him, I wanted to congratulate Walter for having done an excellent job servicing some of our kids. Perhaps that's not the word you use. Anyhow, thank you.
Second. Moved by Dr. Olker, seconded by myself.
All in favor, Hale.
We are adjourned.